how does a high school football team know when it wins? I mean, I think we can we know the answer to that. How does the church know when it wins? That's really the big question. What defines a win for us as a church? You know, the popular way of determining that, you know, most people think of church is the size of the church, or how many people attend on a Sunday service, or the size of the budget, how much money it has, or the number of people really that get saved, right? But are those really the indicators that Jesus gave us by which we evaluate ourselves? Really, we have to look at how Jesus evaluates the church, what his evaluation is. We can appear to be successful, but we are not using the measuring stick. If we're not using the measuring stick or the rod that Jesus gave us to use, it doesn't matter really what we do. You know, we could have 5,000 people sitting here this morning, but if our goal is not Jesus' goal, then it doesn't matter. It has to be what Jesus wanted us to do, first and foremost. The win for Jesus is discipleship, making disciples. So today we're going to talk about discipleship. And I know I've talked about this a lot. I talk about discipleship a lot in many different ways. And I pray this morning that God help us understand what discipleship means and the process that it takes to make disciples. That's what I want us to learn this morning. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, give me your wisdom, Lord, this morning to speak your word. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in this lost and dying world. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, going back to what I was talking about, the seminar, the CPR seminar, you know, our churches, we know, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, about how our churches in America are declining. And I'm not talking about just the Nazarene denomination. I'm talking about denominations all over America are in decline. As our population increases, you think the church attendance would increase, but it's not. It's going in the opposite direction. And so how do we combat that? How do we change that? Churches around the world are growing where they're under such high persecution, and they're growing, but here in America, we're not growing. You know, we find that more and more churches are becoming more and more empty every Sunday morning. And even during this COVID time, we've even seen it, you know, I think it's been spotlighted even more so. And so that's really kind of what we need to be alerted to. We need to take note of this and say, okay, what are we not doing? And I mean me, what am I not doing? What are we not doing? And I think one of the things most importantly we're not doing is we're not focusing on discipleship any longer. We tend to focus on a lot of other things, but discipleship. You know, Jesus gave us a clear plan. You know, what is the task really that Jesus gave us? But he did. He gave us a clear plan and a clear win in Matthew 28. It's very familiar. We've read it many times. I want to read it again to you this morning. Chapter 28, verse 18. If you have your Bibles, you want to read along. It said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to every end of the age. So we see here that all of us, that means the saved, born-again believers, all of us that are saved, born-again believers, are called to make disciples. That's why it's referred to as the Great Commission. But it's really like the Great Co-mission. Because now we coexist with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes to live in our hearts, right? His Holy Spirit lives in us, and now we coexist with Christ. Amen? You think about that. He is in coexistence. So that coexistence means that we coexist with His mission. And what was His mission? To make disciples. When He was on this earth for 3 years, He took 12 guys and He made disciples out of those 12 guys so those 12 guys could make disciples. And those disciples could make disciples and go on and so forth and so forth. That was His plan. That was His mission. And that's why they call this the Great Commission, because Jesus commanded us to do it. He didn't say, maybe if you get time, go and do this. Did He? He said, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go. You can't go where I'm going. But listen, while you're here on this earth, I have taught you what you need to know. Go make disciples. Go make more disciples so they can make disciples. So they can make disciples. That's what church growth is right there. You know, when we get to heaven, there's only going to be one kind of people in heaven. And that's saved. Amen? That's it. There's not going to be Baptists. There's not going to be any other denominational title up there. It's going to be people who believed in Jesus. That's it. We got to get along while we're here, right? When Jesus comes to live in our hearts, we now coexist with Jesus. We coexist with His mission. The passage here tells us to make disciples as we go about living our life by baptizing and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded us to do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Making disciples is not something that we can do on our own. It's not. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need Jesus in living inside of us. But when we become a believer and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us the resources. So when we look at this right here, the first thing that we see is He gives us the power and authority. Right here, He says, all authority in heaven has been and on earth has been given to Me. So if He coexists in us, then that power and authority has been given to us as well, right? Authority, what is that? It's the right to do something. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you the authority. I'm giving you the right to do this. As My Father sent Me, I send you too. That's what the Word says. And He's given us the power and the ability to do it. Did you know that? Every one of us here this morning, if you're a born-again believer, you have the power, and the authority given to you by Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. To go and make disciples. He's given you gifts and the abilities. Each and every one of us have gifts. Let me tell you, if you don't know what your gift is, ask Him. I think most people don't want to know because they're scared that Jesus is really going to talk to them. I think that's why most people, you know, they're comfortable with just coming and listening and going on their way because they're afraid to really ask. They don't want to really listen to what God's telling because He's going to make you uncomfortable. He's going to push you to do things that you never did before. Come on now, don't get quiet on me this morning. You know, it's not easy to do what Paul did, right? Paul said, you know, I've been beat. You know, I've been whipped 39 minus, you know, or 40 minus 1. I mean, he was left for dead, been shipwrecked. He goes through this whole thing in the Scripture about all these things that he went through. That sounds like something we want to do too, right? It's exciting, right? But God will push you to do things. Paul says, if I live, I live for Christ, and if I die, I die for Christ. See, Paul, it's just like, you know, Larry mentioned that this morning. We just had a short conversation there in the hallway. They were Joyce and Larry and was sitting in Maryland and Stanley and was sitting in their class, you know, and it's like, Paul, man, he just set aside himself. That's what it means, dying out to self. We talk about that a little bit. Dying out to self. Paul set himself aside to say, I'm going to just live for Christ and whatever Christ wants me to do, whether I live or die, I live for Christ. There's people in this world that are dying and going to hell. And that hurts me in my heart. There's not one of us here this morning that doesn't have friends, family, people that we know, people that we work with, that haven't received Christ into their life. Let me tell you, we have the authority given to us by Jesus Christ Himself. And He didn't just ask us, He said, This is my command to you. Go and make disciples. This is His mission. And it's our mission because we coexist with Jesus Christ in our life. He is within us. The second thing we see in this scripture is He promises us His presence. He promises His presence. God's presence in the Bible is the promise of His favor, His blessings and success. And our success is not based upon how much money we have or how nice a facility here we have. We have, but God's power and presence in our lives is what's most important. Here in this, right here, He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." From the day you become a believer to the day you die, He says, I'm going to be with you until that time. No matter where you're at, no matter where you go, wherever I send you, I will be with you. Remember that. That's my promise to you. I don't care if you go to Walmart or you go to Kroger or McDonald's. I don't care where you go, Jesus is with you. No matter where you go. If you go to the mission field or you go to the ghettos of East St. Louis, Jesus Christ is with you no matter where you go and you're called to make disciples. He has His favor upon us. His blessings are upon you. Discipleship is not a program. It's not a program that we do. It is a relational thing. It's a relational process as we live life. You know, as we teach our children and as you work at your job, as you socialize at the coffee shop, God has given each one of us this unique network of a mission field, a harvest field. He's given each and every one of us someone in our path that we can share the love of Christ with. There's somebody in your life. God has given each one of us this mission field to make disciples. You know, I know it's hard sometimes, and you think, well, how do we do this? How do we obey Jesus' command? I got a job. I got a family to feed. I just really don't have a lot of time. You know, I hear that a lot. One day when I retire, I'll be able to serve God more. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Because I'll tell you right now, there was a guy that I was told about this weekend. And when he retired, he retired as a school teacher. And he felt the call of God. He was 62 or 63 years of age. God called him to plant churches, and he planted a church, and he's planted I can't tell you how many churches now. And he just continues to work for the Lord. So God calls us at different times, but He calls all of us. Let me tell you. Jesus says it, or the Bible says this in John 20:21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. We obey his command by living as messengers sent with a message. We have a message. If you're a born-again believer, you have a message to tell everybody. Amen? I have a testimony to tell everybody. Man, I was this way at one time in my life, and now I'm this because of Jesus Christ. That's my testimony. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. You know that song?
Yeah.
I once was blind, but now I see. There's a message. There is a testimony that each one of us have, and it's special. My testimony is different from your testimony, but your testimony is just as special as mine. Because we can say that Jesus did this for me. And he can do it for you too. The goal is not to make converts, not to make churchgoers or pew fillers. It's to make disciples. Jesus made 12 disciples who could reproduce themselves in the lives of others. You know, God told Adam and Eve after they left the garden, he said, be fruitful, multiply. That's been his plan all along. We got to be fruitful and multiply. That's what he tells his church too. Be fruitful, multiply. That's what we do. How do we do that? We make other disciples. You know, Jesus did lots of good things during his ministry, the 3 years, but, you know, his focus was on how to equip these 12 men. How to equip them. And central to his mission was to equip, disciple 12 men to carry on his ministry after he died. You know, it's not any different than us. I need to be that person. I need to disciple and I need to equip as many people as I can before I die. Before Jesus takes me home or he comes and gets me. Whichever. That should be our goal in life. Have you set goals in your life before? I made a commitment this week. I set a goal. I said, I want to bring 12 people to Christ this year. That seems like a small number, doesn't it? 12 people. I'm a pastor. But you know what the statistic is? And I heard this and it shocked me. I said, most people don't bring one person to Christ. This is a statistic over all of our churches. I said that the majority of people, it was like 90% never bring anyone to Christ in their whole life. That bothered me a little. It made me think, I need to set goals in my life. I need to bring at least one person to Christ every month. And maybe that'll be every week if God blesses me. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I want to set a realistic goal. But with God, there's nothing impossible with Him. Amen. Because it's not about Randy, right? It's about God's Word. And we share God's Word, and God's Word does the work. God's Holy Spirit does the work. You know, these 12 disciples, they didn't have to take classes on church planting and discipleship and get a certificate, did they? They didn't. God had disciplined them over the 3 years. And we know that it wasn't until the power of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, that's where they received that power, when Jesus came into their hearts to coexist with them. And that's when their ministry really started. And that's when Peter got up and preached and 5,000 people got saved. Amen? Come on.
Amen.
That's still exciting, isn't it, to hear and read? We serve the same God that they served. He hasn't changed. We sang that song. He's unstoppable. He's unchangeable. So we're messengers. That's what disciples are. We're disciples. We're messengers who carry the message. Are you carrying the message of Christ today? You know, in Romans 10:14, the importance of sharing the message is this. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How are people to know who Christ is unless we tell them? Unless we share our testimony with somebody and tell them what God has done for us in our life. Being a Christ follower is not a spectator sport, is it? All of us are messengers who share the message and then disciple those who believe. That's what we're here. That's what Sunday school is for. It's discipleship. To help train up believers so that what? So they can go share the word throughout their week. We got to share the message of Christ to the unchurched next door. There was a book written by Tom Rainer called The Unchurched Next Door. It's a good book. Tom Rainer notes that most unchurched people do not sense that Christians actively try to share their faith, and they wonder why. If we believe in something so strongly, why are we afraid to share it? He concludes in that book is that many of the unchurched are open to talking about Christ. I find that to be true. Now, there are a few times you'll get the door slammed in your face. People don't want to talk about it. But the majority of people will talk to you about Christ. They may not agree with you, but they will talk to you about it. You know, there's no spectators on God's team. No spectator on God's team. Jesus created the church. And when we became Christ followers, we are organically connected to other Christian followers. The church is described as a family in the Bible, as a marriage, and as a body. You know, what is common to all of them is that they are relational and interconnected always. Sometimes we have problems to work out. But we're not meant to be separated. You know what also is unique about us is that every member is necessary to make all this work. There's not one of us here this morning that doesn't have a purpose. This church here, even this congregation, this body needs each and every one of you. We need each other in many ways. It's not always about money. It's about love and encouragement and support. We all need that. We all desire that. There's times our lives are a mess. Where else are we going to turn? What better place to turn than to our Christian brothers and sisters who can love us and support us and be there to help us pick up the pieces? Amen?
Amen.
That's what a church is all about. Yeah. I said a few weeks ago that we're just one big, happy, dysfunctional family. That's what we are. But remember that Jesus created the church. But the church is meant to be made up of individuals who are engaged and active and not just attending. That's a fact. the whole Bible. It's just, if you don't believe me, just read it for yourself. You know, but discipleship cannot happen without this local church right here. This community needs us. It needs us. You walk out here, you drive down the streets, and you can see the brokenhearted people that walk up and down these streets here in this little bitty old town. They need Jesus in their life. So as we gather together on our Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, or even you guys, you teen groups, don't think that you're insignificant, because you're not. God calls young people to do mighty things too. Use your gifts and your abilities to help others and to bring them closer to Christ. No one on their own can make it. That's why it's so important that we have our church family. But remember that God puts you on this team as a player and not a spectator. Amen. If you're not playing, then the team can't function like it's supposed to. We know that. There's so many players on every field of every sport for a reason. You take one of those players away and it just doesn't work right, does it? We need each and every one of us to complete the mission that Christ gave us. So I want to ask you this morning, do you see yourself as a spectator or a player? Let me end with these questions. I'd like to ask you all, just close your eyes and think. I just want you to think about these questions that I'm going to ask you this morning. Am I committed to making disciples? Number two, who has God placed in my life that I can share with? And do I need to be discipled? And how can I get onto the field to help make disciples? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we're all players here this morning. We're not spectators. Lord, you have given us this great commission, Lord, your mission, Lord. And you coexist with us because you live in us. And so, Lord, we want to complete your mission this morning. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit fall upon them and give them a new vision, Lord. Give them a dream like you gave Joseph. Lord, we need you, Lord. It's not about us. It's all about you. Lord, so as we leave here this morning, let us be mindful of those who have no relationship with you. Lord, let us be that disciple maker that you want us to be. So I praise you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.